All right, Matthew 26, so we're going to start reading from verse 36. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Stay here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken away from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." Well, it's good to see everybody today. I'm glad we're going to give our blood today. And like I said, the title of my message today is titled "The Glory of Surrender." And the first point I want to make is surrender involves self-denial. Surrender involves self-denial. I got to tell you, you know, it takes self-denial for the garrisons to move to Brooklyn. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's like, you know, there's no place like Brooklyn in the whole world. So, and I come to Brooklyn, it took a lot of self-denial. And for the garrison, their family to pack their bags and move down here and doing a fantastic job, you know. And you know the funny thing, I was 2 weeks ago. We had a service with the Manhattan Group at the Hanson Place, and I was getting a ride because I can't drive anymore basically. So my brother Patrice was of course driving me to church, and he said, "Let's take BQE to go." Now I always thought we'd take Atlantic Avenue to come to church, but no, I was like, you know, let's take the BQE to go. So we're going, and we happen to be in the middle of the bike race, so we're sitting over there for like an hour and a half in traffic, not moving, and then by the time we got to church, it was like, I don't even know, 12, you know, 1 o'clock, almost 1 o'clock, I don't even know. But it was bad. And so I was so tired. So I was like, you know what? I gotta at least give my contribution. I can't just come to church and just go home. So I was able to give my contribution and then went home. Then when I got home, I decided to listen to the message because John McCaskey told me to listen to the message. So I listened to the message towards the end. And then he was talking about bridges. And it was like, Nietzsche is the Brooklyn Bridge. I'm like, I don't know about Nietzsche being the Brooklyn Bridge. I am more like the cab driver on Flatbush Avenue. I just where I see myself. I'm the cab driver in Flatbush Avenue. I'm the guy who does the heavy lifting. I don't want any recognition. I don't want any flash. I don't want any whatever, you know. So, but I appreciate his heart in saying that. But it takes self-denial to keep yourself humble. We have got to keep ourselves humble. And in Luke 9:23, Jesus says, "Anyone who come after me must first deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." You know, and it takes self-denial. Self-denial is tough. We cannot be disciples without self-denial. We cannot achieve the glory God wants without self-denial. You know, I mean, think about just the things you have to deny yourself every day as disciples. You know, no, I don't want to do it. I don't want to give up sin. I don't want to give up this. I don't want to give up that. And it's tough to deny ourselves every single day. When it comes to the cross, when it comes to being a disciple of Jesus, the key word is surrender. No one can make it to the cross without surrender. No one can make it to the cross without surrender. Jesus prayed for the cross to be taken away. He prayed for the cross to be taken away. He prayed for the circumstances to be removed. You know, in Luke 22, in 42 to 44, the Bible talks about he was so much, and you know, his prayer was so intense that he was sweating blood. He was sweating blood. Today, people are giving blood today. People are giving blood, but the blood we're giving today is, you know, deliberate. We chose to give the blood. And I want to thank everybody who's giving blood. Who's O positive here? Who's O positive? You know your blood type? You're O positive? Okay, thank you. Okay, great. Awesome. Thank you, because every single month, I get 2 units of O positive blood on my system because of my cancer. I get 2 units. So I thank all you guys. You never know. You and I might be blood relatives now, you know, because I got your blood. You know, you don't know it, I don't know it. We're walking around being blood relatives. Even as I speak, my wife is giving blood right now. And I'm just thinking that it's not right for my husband to be giving to other people blood and she not give blood. So she's busy giving her blood right now. And you know, I love my wife so much. You know, Jesus was sweating blood. He was sweating blood. Being God in the flesh, Jesus had the same problems we had. He had the same problems. He hated the impending pain. I mean, you think about this we don't really know much about Jesus' life since, you know, when he was 12 years old, we know about he was 12, and then we don't know anything else until he was old enough to start his ministry. So the last 3 years of his life, that's all we really know. And basically, the last 3 years of his life, all he talked about was dying. All he talked about was dying. I don't know if you even know that. You know, just about every chapter you look at, there's something about him dying being mentioned over there. It's incredible. He talked about dying. Things begin to change. You know, you can talk about dying all you want, but when it comes to time to die, it's tough to talk. Things began to change for Jesus. And then he prayed, if it's possible, may this cup be taken away. And then he prayed that prayer, and there was silence. There was silence from God. If it is possible, may this cup be taken away. And there was no answer from God. And then he changes his prayer. That if it is possible, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away, unless I drink it, may your will be done. God is basically saying, the plan I have for the world, it's not possible without you dying. And Jesus kept praying, and nothing changes until he prayed for his heart to change. You can pray for your circumstances to change, and there'll be silence from God. You get response when you pray for your heart to change. Any change that's involved just your circumstance is not a sustainable change. It has to be a change that comes from the heart. A change of circumstance would just be here for a moment and dissipates with time. Jesus did not want to die. Jesus did not want to suffer. Just like none of us here wants to die, None of us want to go through pain and dying. He didn't want to do that. Pain tempts us. And we'll do anything to avoid pain. I hate pain. Every single day, I have to answer questions. What's my pain level? Every single day, I have to answer questions between 0 and 10. And most of the time, my level is 7 or 8. Sometimes, it's 11 out of 10. Every single bone in my body has cancer in it. I hate pain. But I'm learning to surrender. And surrender is not a one-time thing. It's not a one-time thing. I take oral chemotherapy, 8 tablets in the morning, 8 tablets at night. Trust me, you don't want to take those drugs. Plus, 20 other drugs you take. You know, my new book I'm writing is called My Right to Surrender. So it's almost ready. But the glory of surrender can happen without self-denial. Secondly, surrender makes us ask tough questions. Surrender makes us ask tough questions. Matthew 27, verse 45. And you know, people see me wearing a hat all the time. I think I'm wearing a hat because I want to be some cowboy, whatever. I'm wearing a hat because I lose so much blood, and I'm cold all the time. Even if it's 90 degrees outside, I'm cold. Surrender, second point, surrender makes us ask tough questions. In Matthew 27, verse 45, the Bible says, 27:45, where is that? From the 6th hour until the 9th hour, darkness came over all the land. About the 9th hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" It's, again, not one of those things. Jesus had prayed 3 times that if it's possible, may this cup be taken away. And then he got to a point where he had prayed for his heart to change. And then he went ahead after his heart changed. He went ahead and allowed himself to be arrested, allowed himself to be beaten up, allowed himself to be mocked, allowed himself to be abused, allow himself to be flogged, you name it, and allow himself to hang on the cross. And then he's like, "God, where are you? But I thought you already decided, Jesus. I thought you already made up your mind. I thought you've dealt with the situation. I thought you've dealt with your heart." He said, the fact that you dealt with your heart today doesn't mean your heart remains the same tomorrow. Tomorrow is another day you have to deal with your heart. My God, why have you forsaken me? Let me tell you something, church. There are no stupid questions when it comes to your relationship with God. You can ask any question you want. And if anybody doesn't like it, that's their problem. You can ask any question you have of God. There is no unspiritual question. And there was silence. There was silence. My God, why have you forsaken me? I believe this is a cry that many of God's people have cried over the years. Over the years, over the centuries, many of God's people have cried, have felt forsaken by God. Many of God's people in this church have had this cry, have prayed to God, my God, why have you forsaken me? You may have cried this cry in this church. You may have prayed and pleaded and begged and fasted. And nothing. Take heart. Jesus did this same thing too. He felt forsaken by God. Did God forsake Jesus? No. But it gets to a point in your life where you feel like, God, where are you? God, where are you? I cry. At least every day, every other day I cry. You know the kind of cry that you cry where you feel pain in your heart? The kind of cry where you get intense headaches? The kind of cry where you cry where you just don't want to talk. I've had that too many times. This past Friday, I had this cry in the hospital. I had this cry in the hospital to the point that my own doctor started crying with me. And every now and then, I get my boys, Ashton, Joe, and Mike Ewadago. They come visit me. They come to the house. They visit, and we'll talk. And I always pray that they come on a day where things are great, a day where I'm doing well spiritually, a day where I'm actually, you know, I'm a spiritual giant or something. But this one day they came, on a Saturday they came. I've been crying all morning. And then you get to a point, I told my wife said, I was like, oh, do you want me to tell him to go home? I was like, come on, I'm tough, I can handle this, let him come in. So I was in the room, and they came in. It took me 5 seconds. And I just started crying. These are kids young enough to be my children. And I started weeping in front of them. I couldn't talk. I just started crying in front of these kids. And I was apologizing to them for crying. And they were encouraging me that it's okay to cry. My God, why have you forsaken me? Let's look at the last scripture here, Luke 23. Are you guys okay? Yes. All right. Yeah, cried with them. And it was rough. But you know, once you cry and then expose yourself and there's nothing else to hide. So once I knew they've seen me cry, I said, forget it, I don't care what they think. I just started wailing. Luke 23, verse 44. A different part of Matthew 27 we read. It was about the 6th hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the 9th hour. For the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man. Surely this was a righteous man." All the time Jesus asked questions, all the time Jesus cried, all the times Jesus made his feelings known, there was silence until this particular time. That's my last point. Surrender brings glory to God. Surrender brings glory to God. "Father, into your hand I commit my spirit." The centurion, the Roman centurion, a godless, unbelieving pagan, has been watching this man that claimed to be the king of the Jews, have been watching this man suffer, have been watching this man keep his cool. And then when he heard this man speak, he was about committing his soul to God's hands. Brothers and sisters, I have prayed for my cancer to be taken away. Many people have prayed and are still praying, and I'm so grateful. Sometimes I feel forsaken by God. I do. I'm not ashamed to confess that sin to you. But then again, it's not sin because Jesus prayed the same way. See? And I will look at my wife sometimes and I say, "Honey, why am I suffering so much? Why don't I have any relief?" One time, when I started doing my chemotherapy, I was weighing 205 pounds. And last time I checked, I'm 165 pounds. Like I said, I wear a hat because I'm always feeling cold because I don't have any body fat. One time I was in so much pain. I was in so much pain one time that I prayed to God, please find me relief. I'm going to go to sleep right now. Find me relief while I go to bed, or I don't want to wake up. If you don't want to find me relief, please let me keep sleeping. Guess what? I woke up, and the pain was still there. How messed up was that? But you know, every day I commit my soul to God's hands, every day. But you know the funny thing? At the hospital where I go, they love me there. At the hospital where I go, they love me in the hospital. They just love me. My doctor, he says, "Mr. Aguirre, we love you. We love seeing you. Anytime you come here, you brighten this place. There's a lot of people here that have a lot of problems, but every time you come here, you brighten the place." And I'm like, God is getting some glory. God is getting some glory. One of the nurses grabbed me one day and says to me, aren't you like a Christian, a priest, a minister or something? I say, yeah. And she was like, yeah, I knew there was something about you. She said, I knew there was something about you. And the nurse talking to me, first time she met me, talking to me, I said, "What do you do?" I said, "Well, I was a minister, and I'm now on disability or whatever." She was like, "I knew there was something about you. The way you talk is different." The way you talk is different. They said they liked my smile. They said, we love your smile. Your smile is great. Your smile is awesome. Anytime you come here, you were smiling. And that's why this doctor started crying, because she thought, I bring smiles in this hospital now. I'm not doing too well. So, brothers and sisters, the glory of surrender. It comes with self-denial. Deny yourself. I know it's not easy to deny ourselves. I know it's not easy. It's tough. It's difficult to deny ourselves. And secondly, what's my second point? Somebody was talking in the back. What's the second point? Surrender makes us ask tough questions. It does. And there's nothing like stupid questions. Ask your questions. Ask it. It's okay. It's okay. And surrender, of course, brings glory to God. Don't give up. Don't give in. No matter what's going on, I am going to keep fighting. I'm never going to give up. If the time comes, I never give up. If the time comes, it's because I prayed the prayer and God finally answered the prayer. Into your hands, I commit my spirit. God bless you.